thank, son, we give you praise. We ask, O God, tonight that you grant unto us access into deeper places. That our interaction with you might not be in the shallow waters. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. You may be seated. As you turn your Bible to the book of Luke, chapter 2. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Those of you outside, as you turn your Bible to the book of Luke, chapter 2, you are all welcome in the name of Jesus. Luke chapter 2 verse 21, the Bible says, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of our purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy unto the Lord, to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen the salvation which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. They brought Jesus into the temple to dedicate him unto the God of the house of Israel. There was an expectation as stipulated by the law in terms of the minimum offering that you will bring to the temple in an event of a dedication. And the fact that for Jesus' dedication, the offering that was brought was a pair of turtle doves gives us an economic insight, an insight into the economics status of the parents of Jesus, because that was the least allowable offering that could be presented in the event of a dedication. Hallelujah. However, there were several rituals according to the book of Leviticus that had to be done in keeping with the spiritual ceremony if a child was going to be dedicated to the God of Israel. However, in the case of Jesus, when he was brought into the temple to be dedicated, there was a different priesthood that was there. Some uninvited guests barged into the ceremony, one of which was called Simeon. And what the Bible had to say about him was that he was a devout man waiting for the consolation of Israel. There were deep secrets that were revealed to this man because he was raised to midwife an agenda in the heart of God. And it came to pass that this man was led not by an invitation letter but by the Spirit into the temple. It was supposed to be a dedication ceremony, and there were stipulated kinds of prayers and dedicatory ceremonies that had to be conducted in such a case. But in the case of Jesus, we see a contradiction. A different priesthood was responsible for the dedication ceremony. That priesthood existed in that city, and God was revealing, was relating with that priesthood to the extent that God had given unto this man secrets that the high priest in the city was not privy to. The high priest in that day felt he was still doing ministry, but God has boycotted him and the structures, and the titles, and the influences around him in that locality. And another priest had been adopted for the most strategic assignment whatsoever in that generation. And when the fullness of time came, this great priest that nobody knew about, that was in the shadows, came into lamplight. It was not an invitation card that brought him. It was the voice of the Holy Spirit. And when he came into the temple, he began to say things that were strange. He brought his personal revelations to light. He said, "Lord, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to your word." It means that the man has been praying to die. The man has been desiring to die. But he was in custody of a certain revelation. And that revelation was a preservative that kept him alive, even though his desire was to see death. Hallelujah. Such are the compliments of a custodian. If God has found you faithful and he shares secrets with you, some of them are preservatives. The guy began to talk about dying, about secret things he had discussed with God. That was not supposed to be part of the dedication. Hallelujah. Indicative of the fact that he had a very robust, intimate relationship with God. And there were several things that God has told him about the consolation that Israel will have after staying under the yoke of Roman bondage for a very long time. That in the fullness of time, according to the sovereignty of God, the emancipator of all nations will find expression in his generation. And he had a lot of duties to perform in the day that he will be dedicated. It will be in keeping with prophecies that have been spoken before that time. The man came out of his hiding place into the temple. Prior to this time, he was never known. And after this time, he went back into oblivion. But he had set the ball in motion for something that Satan could no longer hinder. "Lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles." He begins to prophesy about the destiny of the child. He was able to peep into the spirit of the child, to see the baggage that the child was traveling with as a messenger from eternity that just alighted into time. And this was the content of the child's spirit. He was a salvation for the house of Israel. He was also a light to the Gentiles. He is the pinnacle of the glory that the nation of Israel will ever have. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. It was not consistent with the expectation on a child dedication ceremony. And Simon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising of again of many in Israel. And for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through your own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." I believe that Mary did not know the meaning of this utterance. At the time these proclamations came, it looked like a poem. Something that was sweet to the hearing. He said, "This child is set for the rise and the fall of many in Israel, and it shall be a sign that many shall speak against." That's persecution. Many will speak against this sign. Look to the mother and say, "Yea!" And a sword. This is supposed to be dedication. Child dedication. "A sword shall pierce your heart." Hallelujah. Why? "So that the thoughts of many might be revealed." Now, have you ever studied your Bible in the book of Hebrews chapter 4? You know, the Bible says that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder, bone from marrow, soul from spirit. And it is what? It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now, I don't know how many of us here have had the opportunity of slaughtering a goat, and you were able to slaughter it successfully until the people that will use that raw material in the kitchen were satisfied with your work. Have you ever done that? You have never done that. How many of you have done that before? You see, if you have succeeded in doing that, you discover that you will need many kind of knives, many types. You will need a machete sometimes. Are you with me? And then you will need a smaller knife, a precision instrument. And then every part of the bowels of the creature will be unveiled because you have a precision instrument. Now, the word of God is not just a hammer. The word of God has the capacity to discern. And what? Now, you see, when the Bible says it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart, have you ever received a prophecy? Are you with me? Like a prophet came to a church and he was preaching. What was the message? The axe head, it will float again. So when he mentioned that, the church said, he said the axe head. Well, what? The people didn't know what they were saying amen to. Because if the axe head is going to float again, it means the axe head will sink first. So after I finished preaching that message, the senior pastor and the pastor directly under the senior pastor had a fight that week, the next week. And then the younger pastor left the ministry. And then the ministry divided into two. The ministry sank. But... But you see, as that prophetic word was gliding, in order for the fulfillment of what the prophetic word will remedy, the thoughts and the intents of many hearts, what happened? The assistant pastor had all those plans in his heart, but it was not obvious until the word of the Lord was spoken. As that word began to go, it shook the environment, and what came out? He said, yay! And a sword shall pierce your heart, so that the thoughts of many might be revealed. This was supposed to be what? A dedication. And the people, the parents of the child that came for dedication, the Bible said they marvel. They marvel. Yeah, so, from the standpoint of this little piece that we have just read here, in the eyes of God, the dedication is a serious matter. Just like we intend to dedicate a child this evening. Hallelujah. So we want to call the parents of this child to come forth with the child quickly so that we can carry out the ceremony. The church sank. What was the problem? The problem was that the senior pastor was just made a bishop. So his designation has changed. His salutation has changed. His address has changed. So the younger pastor now forgot and called him Reverend when he was supposed to call him. It was many weeks after that prophet preached that message, the ass head will float again, that they remembered that it was actually supposed to sink before it will float. Do you have the name of this child written out so that we can... Okay, if you don't have the name of the child written out, please, can you provide a sheet of paper and a pen for the parents to write out the name of this child? Hallelujah. The axe head will float again. The arm robbers went and visited the bishop and broke his two legs and left. So have you ever considered how it looks like to be pastored by a crippled pastor? When the bishop became crippled, his title did not matter anymore. So he became light. He could float back. He could float back. Guess what? The prophet was never invited again. That's the kind of thing that happened in the dedication of Jesus. A prophet came and hijacked the process and brought secrets from the cave, set some things in motion, some powerful things that had been incubated in the spirit for many years. He set them in motion by an utterance. He gave the mother a clue, but that clue did not help her because he was speaking from a frequency that was higher than her thought frequency. And so the Bible says that Joseph and his wife Mary, they marveled. I'm speaking in parables. People that have ears to hear, hear in the name of Jesus. Before we proceed with the dedication, we will want to extract a testimony from the mother of the child. Hallelujah. A woman is actually a man with a womb. And the womb that a woman carries reveals the height of her purpose. It suggests that the zenith of her purpose will be captured in an act of travail. That is actually a suggestion that reveals that the woman's ultimate purpose is tied to a traveling enterprise. When she travels in the natural, she produces children. But that is supposed to be an illustration of the life she has to sustain in the spirit, a traveling man. And so when a woman takes in and conceives, the gestation period is 9 months. If you are a student of the Bible, you find out within this window of time, God visits. If your spirit is alive, God will visit you to give you an insight of the destiny that you carry in your womb. Just in case you lingered for 9 months and there was no insight, it means you are terribly spiritually sick, in need of intensive care in Jesus' clinic. So I want to extract a testimony from our sister. What was her experience during the time of the carriage of this child?
Okay.
You may wish to face the congregation.
Okay. Praise the Lord. I thank God for my life. I thank God for the life of my baby and my entire family. I thank God for this baby. When I was pregnant for her, actually, I had no complications. And as in, I carried the pregnancy for 9 months successfully. There was no problem. I was going for antenatal. There was no problem. Till when I was about giving birth to her, I was always going for antenatal. The doctor advised me that the baby, the size of the baby was big, and that I wouldn't be able to give birth to the child naturally. That so I should just decide to go for a CS. So I didn't agree with what the doctor told. I decided to allow myself undergo labor. So I labored for 3 days, the doctor's advice. And my baby died even before I was operated because I decided to go against the doctor's advice. The baby died in the womb before I was operated. Before I even got into the theater, she died the day before I got into the theater. So when they were about to operate me, I went for a scan. The doctor told me the baby had already died a day before the day I was to be operated. So I said, I believe in God, that I believe in his promises, and he never told me that I was going to give birth to a dead baby, though the baby is dead, medically is verified, but me, I know.
I want to make a statement here. Having a baby through CS is not a manifestation of lack of faith. That's just food for thought. May the Lord grant understanding.
Amen.
All right. So please go on.
So I was operated upon. The baby came out dead. I was unconscious. So it was my husband and the doctor that now told me what happened after. That after 45 minutes, when the baby came out of me, that after 45 minutes, miraculously, the baby came back to life.
Please, can you pass the microphone to your husband? We need to extract that aspect of the event that you were so unconscious to be able to remember?
Praise the Lord. Actually, what happened, the labor, as my wife said, was protracted. But I and a pastor friend, we were praying outside. We prayed all through the night. And when the pastor friend got tired, and at the point she was to go into to be taken to the theater, you know, they will ask you to sign a lot of papers. And they will tell you that, you know, the things they see, I was not seeing those things. The doctor said the baby had died. And I insisted that my baby was not going to die. Because I was like 9 months. How do I tell all of this? How do I console my wife? You know, these are dangerous signs. So I said, how do I console her, you know? So if you linger in argument, they could do a lot of damage. So I decided that, okay, whatever you are seeing, hold it. Let me also hold my own. The one you see, hold it. The one I see, let me hold to it. But I signed the documents, and by the time the baby was actually brought out, they brought her out dead. And I was still praying outside. And I got some prayer points that I never prayed before. This idea of life entering into my child, you know, I retract your soul from wherever it has gone. I was saying those strange prayers that I never prayed before.
Now, and I need to run a commentary by the side. If you have never casted out a demon before, you will not be able to raise the dead. In casting out devils, you ask the spirit to leave. In raising the dead, you ask the spirit to come. Now, in raising the dead, a gift of the spirit must be operational in your life. Because there are several reasons why the person may have died. And if it happens to be that there are legalistic reasons behind the death, you will need a very skilled litigant in the spirit to release that soul back to the body. What is extracted in death is what we call is the soul, the intelligence of the personality. That the spirit and the soul is extracted. And what you address, if you are led to pray for one who is dead so that life can be restored, is the soul you address. If you have never sent a spirit out, you can never call a spirit to come back. Meanwhile, it is not every dead person that Jesus saw that he raised from the dead. If you are going to raise the dead, an instruction about that. But you see, the act of raising the dead is simple. You are instructing the soul to come back. Sometimes as you begin to pray that prayer, your eyes might be open to see that there are hindrances. Then what you see, you address. And when the soul comes, sometimes you might also be given a word of wisdom. Many times, the discernment of spirit and the word of wisdom must be in operation. Because God might say that you should finger the person and hold it there. That's a word of wisdom. Right? Most of you understand what I mean by word of wisdom. And the word of knowledge is informative. Word of wisdom is directive. And you need that directive gift in order for you to restore that soul. So that's just a commentary.
As I was saying, but before we got to this stage, you know, in the course of our pregnancy, we had three visions. Two by her, one by myself. She had a dream. We were walking together, driving in a car, and then suddenly the car somersaulted, turned upside down, but we escaped alive. And then I think a week to her delivery, she dreamt I gave her this other this colored apple. I gave her the apple. And then mine, the dream I had was, we were walking peacefully, then caterpillar, just very giant caterpillar, came from behind us, overtook us, and then just got mountainous heaps of sand, and then covered my wife. The mountain, I was stranded, trying to get across to the other end, either jump or run or pass through.
Okay.
So I couldn't, but suddenly I saw her now, she came out of the heap of the mountain. She just came out, but not with any child. That was what I saw before we got to this stage. So, you know, after, you know, I was told.
I need to run a commentary there. Comment. Revelation. Some revelations are warning signs. Warning signs that should be visited with intense intercession, probably corporate intercession. Some revelations are disclosures of a certain outcome. God does not give revelations for fun. If you check very well before every terrible thing happens around your life, God is so faithful as to give you a sign. Some of the signs that you receive from God are beyond the scope of reasoning of your human mortal mind. And when you receive these signs, you're supposed to stay in the place of prayer so that you can receive the passcode to break into the wisdom that the sign contains. Many of us trivialize these revelations. And if you have trivialized a revelation, that's God's intent at solving a problem that has not yet crystallized. In recent times, we get called up and then they tell us this kind of thing. I'm standing before a dead body here. I believe that if you pray, something will happen. They call me like that. Even this week, that kind of phone call has come. And you know the response is, go and bury. Why? Because before that death happened, there were signs that were not followed. And those signs are the redemptive fingers of God seeking occasion for us to take advantage of the great bounties of heaven. God's attempt to rescue is limited to revelation. And if we do not understand how to take full advantage of these possibilities, we become victims. Many times we think that the pastor is a miracle worker. When people have lived fully in disobedience and have not taken advantage of the handle of revelational possibilities to change the situation, they exempt themselves from the challenge and then they now bring all the liabilities to a pastor, expecting him to be a son of thunder. Well, may the Lord give us understanding. That's my commentary.
So I was praying around the theater, I knew when the baby had been extracted from her and the baby had died, because when you see the nurses, the way they were behaving, trying to hide them, I just walk up to one, I say, I knew what happened, but just don't worry, don't tell my mother-in-law. So I continued my prayers. And then after like some 35 to 40 minutes, they called me into the theater and the two doctors, they told me that the ones that I argued with before my wife was taken to the theater, they now told me that, come, what God you serve? You just brought your baby back to life, that the baby died. And when we got the baby out, we decided to, the baby was thrown away to salvage the life of my wife. But that while they were busy working on my wife, they turned and life just returned to the baby. And
I want to ask a question. After the revelation you had, did you pray on that that trailer revelation that the sand was poured.
Yeah, we all two we were praying.
You labored in that.
Yes.
Now, can you see where the salvation came from? Those of us that you have, if you have been a diligent student of the move of God in your life, you will know when it is time for the dead to be raised. The dead, they are normally raised before the event of raising the dead. If you miss that window, what do you do next? Go and bury. Please help me tell your neighbor, you go and what? And just in case you are here, a man of God, don't make your credibility drop by attempting to do what God has not sent you to do. If that window has been missed, there's no way you can bring that soul back to life. That's just my little piece. Yes? So, please, there is a name there which you need. He doesn't have respect for vowels and consonants. It's a, so I had to call. You may wish to repeat the names after they are pronounced.
Ihotu Kondugbe.
What's the meaning of that?
The love of the Lord is great. God's love is great.
All right. So can we repeat that name?
Ihotu Kondugbe.
Okay. Yes, go on.
Edna. Edna. Ihotu Kondugbe. Chiamaka. Ada.
Hallelujah. Please, Chief, help me with some oil from my table. Ah. Now, if you notice anything in the past 5 seconds that just passed, you noticed anything. Let me see your hand. May your spiritual senses be alive. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Can we stretch our hands and pray for this child? But before we do, we need to extract a commitment from the parents. Where's the microphone? When Adam was created, even though he was a full-grown man, he was still in the season of innocence. The season of innocence, God took decisions for him. God made choices for him, even though he was a full-grown man. So this child is in the season of innocence. And the parents will take decisions for her. The parents will choose for her. And most of the complications that take place in the lives of men, for which we may need God's intervention, they normally take place in this time, season of innocence. Because those decisions that were taken on her behalf, because he has not yet attained to the season of accountability, they are regarded in the realm of the spirit as if she was the one that took them. Are you with me? All right, so it is at this stage that the child's life is set on course with destiny, and spiritual influences are brought to begin to influence her possibilities and her future. Because of this, we need to extract a commitment from the parents so that we can be sure that the decisions and the choices that we take on the behalf of this child will be in keeping with the laws of God. Husband and wife, will you therefore raise this child in the fear of God? Will you be both revelatory and exemplary? Just in case you fought before, because of this child, we are saying as a congregation, even if there is a reason to fight, because of this commitment we are trying to extract you will suspend the fight so that the child will not see you fight. And the child will know that it is wrong to fight. Will you do as much as this so that it will be easy for her to make a decision for Jesus in the seasons of her accountability? Will you so do?
Yes, I do.
Extract a commitment from there.
Yes, I will.
So now, on the strength of these commitments, can we stretch forth our hands and bless Edna? That the Lord will rest upon her. We commit her to the Lord. That the Lord might protect her and resist every foul spirit from coming into her space, using her mind, taking advantage of the temple of her body. That God will be Lord indeed over Edna. Mosaliko menebraskiva lahambaile. In the name of Jesus Christ. And so today, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we stand as a congregation to confer your blessings upon Edna this day. Just like you fought death to deliver her unto the guardianship of her parents, because her destiny is stronger than death. Today, she has come before you. And with your spirit, we bless her. With your name, we protect and preserve her. And though many children might become instruments of the devil, Edna will serve your will all the days of her life. In the name of Jesus. And this day will empower you with the word of God. But no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And that you will possess the gate of your enemies. Oh my God. And the hand of God will be upon you continually. You will be his voice and his vessel. You will extend his beauty to your generation. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We forbid that sickness and disease will be your portion. Amen. We forbid that you will find difficulties in comprehension in the days to come. Amen. Shine like your Father in heaven. Amen. And let all glory from your life ascend to him as incense. Amen. In Jesus' name. Can you celebrate these parents? May the hand of the Lord guide you as you provide parentage and guardianship to Edna in the name of Jesus. Ushers, if you have an offering basket, you may wish to, just in case there is anybody in the congregation that wants to celebrate with them in thanksgiving for this great miracle that God had wrought and this sign that he has shown, you may also wish to cast a seed by these waters. If you are believing God that your child will not die in the womb, doesn't matter whether you conceived in rainy season or in dry season, but that God will see you through to the very end. If you have trusting God for the fruit of the womb, believe in him, and according to the time of life, God will open his storehouse in heaven and make it good his promises. If there is a young man in your family, young lady in your family that is married, and the cry of a baby has delayed, you may wish to connect with this great testimony. God had to go all the way to Hades to call forth the soul of Edna from from among the dead, then it means this day there is an opening in heaven. And everyone that is trusting God for a miracle, he will stretch forth his hands and he will exceed your expectation. For the scripture says that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we can ask or think. And so tonight, enter into the same grace of preservation that was made manifest in the life of our dear daughter Edna. And the great hand of God that is upon her, may the same grace come upon your life as you identify with that which God has done in the life of these parents. Can you reduce my volume a bit, please? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Be it done unto you according to your faith, in the name of Jesus. According to your faith. According to your faith, so let it be done, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. And so we bless everyone, Lord, that has come to rejoice with your son and your daughter on the occasion of this dedication. And we ask, O God, that you extend the bounty of mercy by which you restored her life in the labor room to everyone that has so rejoiced and celebrated with them. May your power of preservation will be seen on their lives, and that anything that is dead around them, in them, and in their future, it comes back to life this moment, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Celebrate them as they go back to their seat.